This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is BFM 89.9, 6 o'clock in the morning, 15th of March, 2021. I had to check that date because, you know, sometimes, right, you just kind of lose track of time and basically
half the month
space.
Is done.
Half the month is done. Half yes. The quarter.
We're going to get into quarter one done.
We are 2 weeks away from the end of Q1.
That's
How
right.
How scary is that, man?
And what have you achieved? Close to nothing.
Not a lot. I was in school hell over the last few days. Trying to get my kid transferred out, right? Now I realize the pain and the distress that goes into a lot of parents in Malaysia. There's so much to talk about the local school system. There just isn't enough time this morning.
Were you transferring between government schools or from another private to private? Or how does it
No, government
work?
To government.
Oh.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's painful. It's like pulling two teeth out at the same time.
Okay, I hope not wisdom tooth.
Wisdom teeth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, another time, another place where there's basically more. But yeah, I'll tell you all about it. But it's just hell. Yeah. A lot of work to be done by the government.
Yeah. And now by the parents don't have to shoulder it.
Yeah, you know, and you know, if the schools were okay, if there was something to talk about, yeah. But There is no proposition.
But more importantly, are your kids ready and adjusting and open to it?
You know, kids at that age are like Form 1, right?
Yeah.
They're just like, you know, they're bendable, you know. They find new mates. They'll be okay, you know. But the system is broken badly. Yeah.
Okay.
What about you? How's your weekend?
My weekend was good. I had a tad bit too much drinking Friday night.
Yeah?
So
vino?
A bit of too much vino. So Saturday it was a recovery period. Sunday was great. Went back to church again.
Yeah.
So love that.
In physical.
Yeah.
In person.
In person, but of course it was, kind of broke. Only 30% capacity you can take.
Yeah.
So that was great. And then spending time with the family.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Went for a jog. So it was great.
Oh, you go jogging as well?
I did.
I thought you do the walking thing, you know, the walking thing.
I went for a jog this time.
Try not to fall thing, you know. Try not to stumble thing.
No. I actually was upright throughout the whole process. I didn't stumble at all.
Okay, well, here we go. So what have you got for us after this?
Well, there's an article about being all by myself. And I'm intrigued because as we begin opening up, will you miss your solitude?
That's interesting. Some people are afraid of being alone, but there is a proposition there. I will talk about making up new words and how it's actually quite easy to make up new words. I do it all the time. But to get mass penetration, you know what I mean? It's a bit harder. Okay, all that after this, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was New Order. I was going to say New... In fact, no, it is New World Order. Is that right? New Order? New World Order.
Anyway, New World Order. Isn't it a wrestling...
New Order. That was a... I think that was a Freudian slip by the... by the typist. Regret. That actually... immediately took me back 30 years to that era, you know, like Northern Rock.
In the 1970s?
Late 70s 90s, or 80s? 80s? Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. A bit grungy, right?
A bit grungy and a bit dark, but, you know, very anthemic.
Interestingly, now in the UK, the rap scene there is actually also grime.
Really?
And that's taking the lead globally as well.
Rap?
Yes.
Really?
UK grime or rap or whatever it's called.
Yeah, people like Stormzy and all that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are so popular now.
Incredible. Incredible.
You know?
Yeah. Music does something like that to you, you know? It just brings you back to eras that, you know, years gone by.
It evokes a certain emotion,
Yeah.
That's dark and a bit just discombobulating.
Discombobulating. I love that.
You like that word I made up?
There's only six syllables in there. Never mind. Discombobulating. That's six, yeah. Really good, actually. So, that's a good word. Speaking of words, so basically, language is basically like that, right? You it's between two people, and you use words to communicate, right? And languages itself is evolutionary.
That's right.
Just like how maybe 200 years, 2,000 years ago, Latin was like de rigueur. Everybody spoke Latin, right? Mm. And then it's now gone. And then even Penang, where I'm from, right, Hokkien is like, it used to be the thing in the 80s, 90s. And now apparently Hokkien is going. And when I go back to Penang now, right, nobody speaks Hokkien anymore.
So what do they speak then?
Mandarin.
Oh.
And I'm a bit distressed by that because, you know, Hokkien is part of the fabric, right?
Perhaps one of the reasons why is that it has to evolve and has to create new words, new lingo to connect with the generations that are changing.
Yeah.
That's the challenge, right? Like in English, hangry is a new word. you combine hungry and angry together.
Yeah.
But it's such a well-used word.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's being created and people can connect and relate to it. So it's an evolving language.
Yeah.
That is one of the challenges about Hokkien in Penang.
Yeah. Then you got Hokkien phrases with a bit of Malay and then there's a bit of English in there.
Jumpo a bit.
So that's the subject of this Economist story, right?
Yeah.
But how it's easy to start new words, but then it's hard to get it in mass penetration. And then I think about the first word that popped into my mind was mansplaining. For some reason, I don't know.
Well, it's
so that hit the mass lexicon.
Yes.
Others are not so easy.
There are some people actually who regret the mass distribution of these words.
Yeah.
So there are three words I particularly hate. The first is disruption.
Mm.
The second is game changer. And the third is paradigm shift.
Oh my God.
Oh, when I hear
all those three with a vengeance.
When a corporate leader spews one of these three words, disruption, game changer, or paradigm shift, I roll my eyes.
Yeah.
Because you're just making it up.
They have no idea.
They have no idea.
And add IoT, big data, and artificial intelligence in there. See, all these corporate guys, right, they use these phrases to just drive shareholder, affinity, right? But they have no idea. It's like the government. They're peddling IoT all the time. They got no idea.
Well, the creator of the word of disruption, which was Clayton Christensen from Harvard.
Sure, some Masalika from the US. Sure.
He totally regrets coining up with the word because it's now being abused, misused to the extent that he regrets calling it that and he wished he called it type 1 innovation and type 2 innovation.
So
that it was so dry that you would have to go to the articles that he wrote so that they could refer to that and understand what actually disruption meant.
Okay, so Philip C., hypothetically, if you are CEO of a major corporation and you had hundreds of people under you.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm intrigued. Why are you coming to
Would you drive shareholder affinity for the next big move?
Well, I just focus about targets and results. That's all you do.
Is that what gets traction? It doesn't.
Well, you know, eventually, yes, short term, right? It's very exciting with all these words, but eventually shareholders see the value you create, and if they don't see the value creation, what's the point?
Okay, so a few days ago, right, when I was not on there, I saw this thing served up on YouTube. It's called a video. Sorry.
Right.
And it was about
what
sleep,
generation
right?
were you born? I wonder. Yeah. What year were you born? Go ahead.
So Jeff Bezos was talking about sleep, okay, and he was saying that he has to get 8 hours of sleep every day, no, without fail, right?
Yeah.
Because he at that level of management, he makes high quality decisions, and he only makes about 2 or 3 a day, right? So he's got to be totally with it, right? And he says he and his team at that level, they are thinking 3 years ahead.
Yeah.
They're not dealing with today's issues because the lackeys are dealing with that, right? They've got to deal about the next leg of growth in 3 years' time.
Mm,
And I'm willing to bet that he doesn't really think in terms of IoT or big data. He's thinking in real concrete terms.
Yeah. What problems am I trying to solve? What do I want to achieve as a business?
Yeah.
But just a slight shift, I want to tell you a small joke.
Yeah.
When I joined BFM, I actually created a word called Twinana.
Twinana?
Yes.
That sounds vaguely obscene.
Right. It's a twin banana. So a banana that's combined together like a twin. But it's never conceived word before. And it just became the natural lexicon of the morning run.
Yeah. So what does Twinana mean?
Anyway, we'll have another conversation about that.
Okay. So on that bombshell, we'll come back after this and talk about being alone. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Real Estate with Paper Cup. Okay, I'm Khoo Soo Chuang, joined by Philip C. this morning.
Good morning.
Fine Monday, where I'm sure all of you will be just looking ahead to that fresh week. We're 2 weeks away from the end of the quarter, but I want to talk about being alone, right? So alone solitude is when you can do a lot of things, you know what I mean, right?
Pray tell.
Yeah. So solitude is valuable. Why is it valuable? Because it gives you this precious time when you can do a lot of introspection, right? And this is when hopefully you can turn off your phone, you can turn off the television, you can bar the calls from colleagues or family members or whatever, and just contemplate your navel and consider the world around you. I think that's very important.
I think it's so critical. But there is a distinction between solitude and loneliness.
That's right.
That loneliness has a negative connotation, but solitude is about having your inner reflection, you know, going inwards and understanding what it is. And I want to quote you this very famous Chinese philosopher, Lao Tzu.
I thought you were going to talk about Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
No, of course. Well, we
you
could,
know,
but
one, right?
We'll talk about Lao Tzu. And he said, ordinary men hate solitude, but the master makes use of it, embracing his aloneness, realizing he is one with the whole universe.
Ooh, yo. Well, you know the Marsalis, right? Especially the Spanish guy. He wrote about 100 Years Off.
Yeah.
And I think that was a Booker Prize winner, actually, back
it
in the day.
It was such a beautifully written book.
Did you read it?
I did.
I didn't get past page 25, la. Why? To be honest. So boring, la.
It is. It's a very slow moving word.
It
but
is.
The language is so colorful.
Yeah.
It's so deep. It's intricate and detailed.
You can't read fast. That kind of book,
yes,
you've got to
you
go
cannot.
Really, really slow. And I got
Absolutely.
No time for that.
But back to this topic about solitude.
Yeah.
I must say, when we entered the pandemic and MCO, I struggled with it. But as
really?
Yes, I did, because my whole persona was interacting, building networks, you know, connecting with people. And I did struggle in the beginning, got used to it. But as we now begin to reopen the economy, I find going out becoming more tiring for me.
More of a chore.
More of a chore. And I also get more tired.
You see, what I know about you, Philip, I know you like to take long walks, right?
I do.
You didn't tell me whether you go alone or with other people, right? And you don't strike me as someone who is like necessarily an extroverted kind, right?
Yes.
But you can deal with people. So I think that people like my assumption is that someone like you, you are able to deal with solitude, and you use that time for consideration of a lot of things. And it's the same for me. I love being alone. And when I was younger, I couldn't do that, right? I felt very insecure when I had to eat by myself or to go somewhere alone.
Yeah.
But then there was one weekend in the early 2000s when I went on a trip to Perhentian by myself. 4 days and three nights,
and
I was by myself.
It?
I loved it, man. That was when I discovered the value of being alone. And being able to just consider and reflect. Genuflect, lah. You know what
Genuflect,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Genuflect, yes.
I agree. I mean, I love my relationships. They're very important to me. But solitude manifests itself when you can do small things like having a meal by yourself. And like you, I've gone on massive expeditions alone. So
yeah.
I did Trans-Siberian alone.
Nice. Are you serious?
From St. Petersburg to Vladivostok.
No kidding.
Alone. Yeah.
No kidding.
And it was such a great experience, although quite scary, because you're walking, you're staying in the train and seeing new people come through and you don't know who you are and you feel a bit like, can you trust the fella or not? So you have to trust yourself then.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing.
That is the key thing about building solitude in your life.
Yeah, that is amazing. And then what you do then, right, is you're able to, you know how when you're younger, you've got all these thoughts rushing through your mind and you get this assumption that it's important to be thinking all the time, right? But when you get down to it, and Eastern philosophies talk about this, right? When you empty your mind of all the noise, that's when the real value is, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, not everybody will find traction with that statement. But it's very difficult to clear your mind of all the thoughts that are just rushing through and just to let them go, because it's tough. It's called meditation, lah. You know?
Yeah. I personally still haven't hit that level yet where I am fully at peace and calm. And that's why when I am in this period where there's a whole stretch of quiet time or alone time, I do think it's very important to still reach out and talk to people, engage, because, you know, sometimes I don't trust myself whether I'm really heading in the right direction as well with my thoughts. And so I still do reach out to people to say, okay, what am I thinking? Is it still right thoughts and all that, right? So solitude is very useful, but know yourself and also just don't isolate yourself.
Yeah. It's important, the distinction between loneliness and solitude and the value of. So how do you deal? Because it can sometimes trigger, right? That whole, it can be a bit of a spiral in terms of then being a bit depressed and then to be anxious and you don't want to you don't want to go there. My solution is exercise, you know. So the endorphic reaction to intense exercise and a workout is very, very positive for me. After I'm done with a really intense workout, I'm in an amazing mood.
Yeah, I 100% agree. We must say though that everyone has different ways of coping with loneliness and solitude. I am also in the same camp as you, like going for high intensity jog or run, or even using my rower to row.
Yeah.
That really gets me in a better mood, because and like everyone, I get into a funk a lot of times when things are not going well or there's nothing happening. you feel that nothing's happening and you get into this downward spiral. And so getting that burst of energy or just connecting, super important.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that I was a bit concerned about with the government. In fact, all governments last year during the COVID period, right, is there was a lot of fixation on SOPs and procedures and masks and all that, but very, very little focus on basically going out and working out, right? And you know, when you don't fixate, when you don't tell people to go and get healthy, your immune system is then, you know, a little bit weaker, right? And then you become more vulnerable to the virus.
Yes, and the government realized that, because if you remember when they start opening up, one of the first things they allowed was exercise, going to the taman, because they recognized
but
that
laterally,
was such
a, la, wasn't
quite late
the,
la, yeah, but they yeah. but they recognized they had to do it.
Okay, well, okay, mm-hmm. Two steps behind by Def Leppard. I don't know whether that song refers to us, but BFM 89.9, that was the Black Keys with Tighten Up. I'm Kusu Chong, joined by Philip C this morning. Fine morning, 6:39 in the morning.
Beautiful
yeah,
day.
The sun has not yet risen, but here we are talking about politics, and specifically, it's the international news that is grabbing our attention right now. It's all about Myanmar, and the latest round of protests have seen at least 21 more killed in clashes. Politicians are calling for this pro-democracy group to be shut down, but there's a revolution going on.
Yes, so security forces opened fire on the protesters armed with sticks and knives. The junta has declared martial law in the area after Chinese businesses were attacked. So protesters believe China is giving support to the Burmese military. Myanmar has been gripped by protests since the military coup on 1st Feb. Military rulers have detained Aung San Suu Kyi, the country's civilian leader and head of the National League of Democracy Party, because the NLD won a landslide in last year's election, but the military alleged that there has been widespread fraud.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff going on there. And basically, some commentators have said that it's all the world is upside down in Myanmar. The thing is, these protesters are basically setting fire and causing unrest. And I think a couple of Chinese company and their factories have been burnt, right? So the story goes, the China government is actually funding the military junta, and they're behind the shutdown. And I'm not sure how much chicanery is going on in the country, but there's a lot of layers that maybe we in Malaysia, we're not aware of, and certainly not the news media.
The diplomacy and the bilateral relationships are fascinating, because if you think about China and how it exercises its influence around the region,
that's right.
The challenge it has is that its neighbors, India, Japan, Korea, even Australia and Singapore, are all sitting very closely with the US allies. And if you saw over the weekend, US and these allies, they call themselves the Quad, agreed to provide 1 billion vaccines for free to Southeast Asia. So Southeast Asia really is the ground where who will really be able to exert influence, China or the US? And there was a recent interview with the Prime Minister of Singapore, Lee Hsien Loong, where he even said it was a very tough position that Southeast Asia is in picking who they are allied to, China or US.
No, it's true. And with 1.4 billion people, if you add Southeast Asia 650, that's
powerful.
A 2 billion population stroke market, which is basically 25% of the entire world. Oh, well, talking about, you know, basically iron-fisted rules, and albeit being in a red silk glove, in Germany, Angela Merkel's CDU, the Christian Democratic Union, has crashed to its worst results in two regional elections. I think people there are a little bit miffed at their handling of the pandemic and the handling of the economy. And it's not good for Armin Laschet, the next head honcho of the CDU.
So they distinguish between the popularity of the chancellor, where she's still very popular, versus the party, which is the CDU, the Christian Democrats Union, right? So there are two provinces here, I think, Baden-Württemberg and the other one, Rhineland-Palatinate, where basically they are now second poll for these two key constituencies, which are typically conservative stronghold, which really is an indictment about how Germany and the rest of the EU, honestly, have not been successful in rolling out the vaccination program.
Yeah, and that's got big repercussions for the EU and for the rest of the world, because Germany is the biggest component of the union and the market that lies within. If
that's
they don't
right.
handle the economy well, then the EU does suffer. Well, talking about suffering, AstraZeneca is fighting accusations that there have been reservations over its vaccines, and reports of serious blood clotting after inoculations triggered a spate of suspensions stretching as far as Thailand. And I just want to state, over the weekend, that marvelous Marvin Hagler, remember the boxer, the middleweight boxer from the 80s, I think 70s and 80s? He passed away at the age of 65.
Right.
And there's been suspicions that it was due to the reactions of his body to the
AstraZeneca vaccine.
I'm not sure which vaccine he took. But that whole, so the anti-vaxxers have just basically jumped on this whole bandwagon.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yeah, it's not been so smooth sailing for the rollout program.
Well, I always think it's very important when there is an issue or when they find an issue, it's worth addressing it up front. Because if you want to really placate or address these vaccine hesitancy, it is to be transparent to say, look, here's where the data is coming through. What's performing, what's not performing. So I think it was a right move to kind of suspend. But as you say, right, there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy, especially for the AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
So you can see in Europe, Germany, Italy, France, right, the reluctance or wanting an alternative to the AstraZeneca, 27% in Germany want an alternative, 23% for Italy, 22% for France. It goes to show that all these results do create some hesitancy.
I don't know whether Malaysia is... I thought I saw a headline in the papers, yes, that AstraZeneca is accepted in Malaysia.
They have
I know Mohiden's been shot, hasn't it? Shot, injected.
Well, no, I think we've so far been having the Pfizer vaccine and also Sinovac. But Malaysia has confirmed that they will continue to use the AstraZeneca because they've ordered that.
Okay, Phil, the twirling finger has appeared. So we must call it a break for now and come back after this with the local news, BFM 89.9. Linda Ronstadt.
Rescue me from Trump.
Rescue me from the politicians is what I'd like to say. Let's kick off this local news / social media segment by saying we've got no social media, but never mind. We've got lots of local news.
Actually, we cannot quote those social media.
Cannot say lah. Too naughty for this early in the morning. Okay, I'm going to start with the Edge Weekly film. Now, frankly speaking, okay, the section of the paper, which is my favorite section because it's all the salacious stuff.
Short but sharp.
Short, sharp, but no attribution. So, you know, they can pretty much almost say what they want. So they've led, frankly speaking, with the question mark of really, do we need a fake news law? It's a big thing because the this new legislation focuses narrowly on two things, the emergency declaration and COVID-19. Any fake news about that might incur a penalty of 3 years in jail and or 100,000 ringgit in fines. And that's a lot.
That's pretty steep.
That's very pretty steep.
It's pretty steep. And I think we're going to have a conversation later.
I think we will. I think discuss, we should.
And we will. And I think if you join us at about 7:30 onwards, there will be a very interesting conversation interview. And it got me thinking, because this is not a local issue. I think Singapore was talking about, you know, fake news. And we've had talks about this so much in the US. And we have now got to into this debate between cancellation culture and criticism.
Yeah.
And what is the right balance to strike between cancel culture and criticism?
Great question. Page 4 of The Star does not have the answer to that question because it focuses on the fact that over the weekend, anecdotal evidence shows that people are back in malls again with a vengeance. It's crazy.
Well, I personally went.
Did you? Where'd you go?
I went to Gardens. It was so difficult to find parking because
Gardens is the mall for the 1%ers, lah.
Yeah. And even with the 1%ers, it was so crowded.
Really?
It was so crowded. It was hard to find parking. I had to go down to P3.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Masks, yes?
Yes, all wearing masks.
Social distancing?
I wouldn't say that. But they were all wearing masks. It was just crowded, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think, like, when you talk about this whole situation, the vaccination program is coming online. And I want to give you a snippet of a very interesting small article I read in the New Straits Times, your favorite newspaper, Chuang.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, easy entry to China with Chinese shots. The China-made vaccine is becoming
the ticket to enter the mainland. So if you take the Sinovac shots... is this a Sinovac or Sinopharm? What was that?
Sinovac, I think.
Sinovac. So if you take the Sinovac shot, you can go to China.
Let me read it out. China said it will ease visa application requirements for foreigners seeking to enter the mainland from Hong Kong if they have been inoculated with COVID-19 vaccines made in China.
Okay, so there's a bit of that now going on, right? Because I think, generally speaking, there's a consensus that by the end of this year, there will be a kind of vaccine passport thing. So if you've taken the vaccine, you get your passport chopped, you can travel around. So if you take the Pfizer, you can go to America. If you take the Sinovac, you can go to China. If you take both, then you can go to America and China.
Which makes me think, do I need to be vaccinated by multiple vaccines?
Yeah.
And that is going to be a big question mark for me.
You'll be full of holes by then, Phil.
It's more holes, so it's fine.
Edge Weekly, frankly speaking, last section, right? AT systemization, which is, you know, obviously a very, very... I think, what's a polite way of saying this? Barbecued stock. So they made a, they made a conditional voluntary takeover for this company called Astian, right? Astian Group, loss making, hasn't made any money for 21 straight quarters. They've offered 50 cents per share. And the Edge is, I think, rightly asking why.
Yeah, is there a business logic? What do these two entities bring, and what are the synergies?
Great question. No answers for you, but that is what's out there. Oh yeah, Xavier Jayakumar, of which we're also going to be discussing later this morning,
right,
has left PKR. That's also in the news.
Yes, I think it's also over the weekend a bit of ruckus with the IPO and PERAC DAP elections going through. I think the results are out, and so we're going to have another conversation, I believe, at very shortly, actually, in a couple of 15 minutes time, as we understand how the political situation is unfolding across Malaysia.
Yeah. And there's also news that Prasarana has confirmed the termination of Mohammad Nizam as the chief executive. So they've put an interim in there, and we're waiting with bated breath as to who will be the fixed term CEO going forward.
It's interesting because the way it was written, this was the final statement. If you recall, end of last week, there were so many correspondence and announcements, and I think the CEO on Friday said, "I have not received the notice that he was terminated," but I guess he got the memo over the weekend.
Okay, now I think also there's a general consensus that as the emergency ends later this year, I think September, right? General elections August, will be called August. Yeah. Mm. So page 5 of the Star Nation, the implementation of Undi 18, which could potentially release millions and millions of new voters into the country. Young voters. Now, the implementation of Undi 18 is under the purview of the Election Commission after the amendment to the federal constitution, according to Dato' Sri Taqiyuddin Hassan. So, whatever that means, I don't know. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Will it be passed in time for the young voters to come in? Don't know.
Yeah, so Undi 18 is such a consequential item. I think we've discussed this quite extensively in the morning run because this monolith of youth from 18 to 21, they're actually not a monolith. There are diverse needs of different people from all backgrounds, rural, urban. So how they will make up and shape the constituencies, especially marginal constituencies, super critical. Very interesting to see whether they are going to implement this for this coming August, September election.
And how will they vote, right? Because they don't carry any luggage from before, nor are they swayed so easily by the hyperbole that politicians
I think a bit of a blank slate, so really an opportunity for the political parties to make their case.
Okay, 6:55, we'll come back after this with the news, and after that, of course, the markets and more financial news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.